नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
I wish to offer my gratitude to everyone for so kindly attending the Sunday festival of Sri Radha Gokulananda. Janmashtami marks 31 years since our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was present in this very room we are sitting to call upon the Supreme Lord, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, to appear to accept the loving service of their devotees. It was in this temple room that Srila Prabhupada, with his own hands, bathed the deities and offered the first arati. It was here that from the core of his pure heart, he prayed to Sri Sri Radhan Krishna to descend from the spiritual world, to be present in these forms, to not only give pleasure to the devotees, but by their beauty and mercy, to attract the hearts of hundreds and thousands, millions of fortunate souls. This is really what Janmashtami represents. Krishna tells in Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam eti sorajuna. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal supreme abode.
Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami juge juge. Krishna tells that in order to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants and re-establish the principles of religion, I descend within this world again and again. But our beloved acharyas explain that he could actually fulfill these three purposes through his divine representatives or through other means. Why does he come once in a day of Brahma in his original divine form from the spiritual world? The special reason is to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls. Out of causeless mercy, Aham Bija Pratapita, Krishna is the father of all living beings, the mother of all living beings, and the ultimate best friend of all living beings. And although the souls within this material existence have defied the will of the Lord since time immemorial, out of causeless love and mercy, the Lord appears, brings his eternal associates, even manifests his eternal abode on this world, and performs such beautiful pastimes, speaks such pure absolute knowledge that for all time to come, we have the opportunity to know God. And the more we know God, the more we naturally, spontaneously love God. Why? Because he is Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive one. All those qualities that attract the love of our heart, Krishna possesses in full, eternally. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that all attractive opulences, that anyone or anything may possess within this world is just a spark of his supreme splendor. We know how much a man can be infatuated by a woman, or a woman infatuated by a man, or how people are infatuated by prestige or by wealth or by health. Krishna, he is the source of all opulences. One time, a beautiful sunset. What artist can create a beautiful sunset? What canvas can possibly be made as big as the sky, bringing light, beautiful, soothing light and life? The devotees were enthralled by this sunset, and they said to Prabhupada, "Isn't this incredible?" Prabhupada looked upon them. "If you think the art is beautiful, you should see the artist. He is the source of everything wonderful." Yatrayanti katam rishtas trishna yo prashamojata nirvairam yatrabhuteshu nir. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that simply hearing about Krishna and talking about Krishna naturally awakens our love for Krishna. In fact, in this particular verse, it explains that when the devotees assemble together to discuss the topics of Krishna and the spiritual world, then they become free from the miseries of material existence, and there can be no envy or animosity amongst them, as long as that is the topic. As soon as the topic changes, Kali Yuga can come right into our lives. Why is this? Because Krishna is absolute. His message is non-different than him. His name is non-different than him. Therefore, the Lord has made himself so causelessly accessible to all of us. This is Vrindavan life. Vrindavan is a place where everyone is simply remembering Krishna and helping each other remember Krishna by constantly thinking about him, talking about him, hearing about him. And Krishna arranged so many incredible pastimes just to enthrall us and give us something to talk about and think about that's going to awaken love rather than just further waste our lives away. Should I tell something? One day, Krishna Balaram, they were small boys, still in their Kumar Lila, and they were taking care of calves. Do you know how many calves they took care of? According to the Shukadeva Goswami, one asankhya. An asankhya is you take a one and put 17 zeros after it. And that's how many calves Krishna was taking care of. Now, you may think that this is impossible. I don't know if any of you are mathematically astute enough to give us what that really means. But when Krishna comes to this world, he displays extraordinary opulences. Otherwise, what's the use of a being God? The miracle of God is everywhere, in every flower, in every tree, in every human being. Some foolish people, they will only believe in a God if someone can show them a miracle. But there's not a moment in life when you're not seeing miracles. The population of the world is billions of people, and how many insects, and how many trees, plants, animals. Everyone is a miracle. The sunrise is a miracle. The moonrise is a miracle. Just think about it. Analyze it. It's incredible. A little seed goes into a lady that has no qualities whatsoever. And people may say DNA and all that stuff, but how does it work? Who made it work? And it just develops. And a man and a woman don't even know what's happening. Usually in the first stages, they don't even know that it's there. And yet it's growing. And eyes and hands and legs and head and heart and lungs. And then it comes out and it's crying and it grows. How did it happen? It's a miracle. Everyone here is a miracle. God is showing his glory at every second. A little seed falls and becomes a gigantic tree. Can anyone put a tree in a seed? So for Krishna, who is floating unlimited planets in unlimited universes, just floating them, they never get too far or too close to the sun or each other. Is that not a miracle? Even the greatest politicians can't even keep together one little city, the mayor, or what to speak of a town or a village. Krishna's maintaining entire universes. And you may say gravity, but can anyone create gravity? It's Krishna's power. So when Krishna personally appears on earth, he displays pastimes to attract our hearts. If he had 76 calves, who would care? But if he has one asankhya of calves, yes, Krishna's wonderful. And he was only 5 years old, and he's taking care of all of them with no problem, every day, all day, Harivo. So one day, he went into the cowherd pastures, and the calves were very much thirsty for water. And so were the cowherd boys. They saw a nice, clear water lake. So the calves drank from the water, and the cowherd boys, they were drinking the water as well. And they were sitting on the bank, resting, feeling very happy. Suddenly they saw, from across the waterway, a monstrous being. His body looked like a mountain that had just been cut by a thunderbolt. He was a huge, mountainous duck with a pointed beak. When they looked upon him, they didn't know what to think. Never had any species been seen in the world like this before. In a moment, this duck just pounced upon them and swallowed Krishna. Krishna was in the duck's throat. He was trying to digest Krishna. Now, Balaram was there, and he could have done something about it. He had the strength. But it was so fast what was happening. And all of a sudden, Krishna disappeared, and he was swallowed by this monstrous duck, Bakasura, that Balaram just lost all his composure and fell unconscious. And all the gopas, cowherd boys, they were in so much distress. Krishna's gone. He's been swallowed. He's finished. They all fell unconscious. Some of them were crying too. And they were crying. They were falling unconscious and coming to conscious and weeping and crying and falling unconscious and coming to conscious and weeping and crying. Their hearts were just drying up. In the separation of the possible death of their very life, their soul, their everything. This is Krishna. This is the nature of a devotee. Krishna is the life, the soul, the everything. Everything we live for, everything we die for. That is love. For a pure devotee to be feeling separation from Krishna is like a fish being out of water, or like a human being without air. It's impossible to live. That is the nature of love. So when they were all laying on the ground, and Bakasura was thinking, on behalf of Kamsa the king, Krishna is finished. Now Krishna's body is as soft as a tender blue lotus.
It describes in the Bhagavatam how the gopis, they would sometimes cry thinking of Krishna in the forest because he wouldn't wear shoes. Yashoda Mai just couldn't tolerate pebbles touching Krishna's feet because they were so soft. They were softer than the softest of all soft things. Just touching them, they would change colors. How could they tolerate Krishna in the pasture grounds all day long, stepping on grass? Sometimes grass is a little hard, or pebbles. And when gopis would put Krishna's feet on the softest part of their body, they were thinking, maybe I'm hurting them because I'm so hard. Yegatamam prapadyante tam sthaiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender to Krishna, as you approach Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly. So because the devotees approach Krishna with love, Krishna's body, his glance, and his love is as tender as a blue lotus. But because Bakasura approached with enmity, Krishna's body felt as hard and hot as a thunderbolt. The effulgence of Lord Sri Krishna, which is so beautiful to the devotees, was burning intolerably the throat of Bakasura. It burned him so terribly that he had no alternative than to vomit. I'm not going to try to make that sound either. He just vomited Krishna out of his mouth. And Krishna just got up and he appeared, and everybody became very happy again. The appearance of the Lord. It's like the curtains open. This is a very special darshan of the Lord. So then Bakasura, with this gigantic, powerful, pointed beak, stabbed Krishna. And Krishna dexterously just dodged it. He stabbed again and again and again, and Krishna kept dodging him. And this was bringing even more sorrow and anguish to the hearts of the devotees. Now, why does Krishna do this to his devotees? To increase their love, to increase their attachment. So Krishna, just to please the Vaishnavas, the cowherd boys, he grabbed one of the beak of one side of the beak of Baka with one hand and the other with the other hand, and then pulled it open so fast and with such power that he bifurcated him. As a child tears in half a piece of Virana grass. You've seen children sometimes, they tear grass like that, Krishna. And the demon fell to the ground. And his soul was liberated, attained mukti after being purified by the Lord. When the devatas saw this, they were beating cuddle drums and singing songs and showering malika flowers. And when the cowherd boys just saw just tons of malika flowers falling from the sky, they were amazed. And they cried out, "Well done, well done." Seeing Krishna safe again, it was as if they regained their life. And Balaram first approached Krishna and embraced him with so much love and affection. And then every one of the cowherd boys individually came and embraced Krishna, welcoming him back into their association. It is explained by Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that every day a demon like this would come. Why? Because Krishna and the gopas were playing so blissfully. They played so many games. And their games were so exciting and so enjoyable that it was impossible to stop playing.
We have all seen how children have the propensity to play. Where does that come from? It originates in this spiritual world where Krishna and his little friends are playing eternally, blissful pastimes. And in each game, Krishna is reciprocating with each and every one of his playmates in such a way that they're just tasting ever-increasing nectar. So how to possibly stop such a game? So the Leelamaya potency, the spiritual potency of the Lord, would actually inspire an asura, a demon, to come to kill Krishna every day just at lunchtime. Because Yasodamayi and gopis made so many nice preparations for Krishna, and they had to eat, but they would never eat. So the demon would break up the play and create very much excitement, and they would be falling unconscious or watching the most exciting tournament. People like tournaments in this world, yes? Where does that come from? It comes from Krishna. He's the origin of everything, and it's perfection. In India, they're very mad after cricket. In America, somebody in India says, "Do you like cricket?" The first time I came to India, 1970, someone talked to me about, "Do you play cricket in America?" I said, "You're asking if we play with insects?" They said, "I'm talking about cricket." I said, "Yeah, cricket, they're those insects that at night they go, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo." I said, "No, bats and balls." That's the only cricket I knew. The person was actually offended. It was like the mad elephant offense for an Indian cricket fan. For someone to not even know that cricket exists, to compare it to an insect. But anyway, mad after these things we have seen. But where does this tournament coming from? In UK, I think you have your football, soccer, kicking balls around. It's a very exciting thing. And in America, so many things, because America always tries to make everything very complex. It's not just kicking balls, but there's footballs and baseballs and basketballs and like that. And it's the most popular thing. In the American newspapers, it is explained that the vast majority of Americans, they spend most of the time reading the sports pages. The world's blowing up and they're reading, who won the football game. It's a bigger concern for some people. And Sunday, I remember I was in Columbus, Ohio. We have a little temple there, and there was about 150 people, not even that, about 100 people came, and we thought it was a big crowd. But just a few blocks away is the Ohio State University Stadium, and there was 90,000 people watching a football game, and 100 people coming to hear about Krishna. This is Kali Yuga. But where does that inclination come from? From Krishna. He's the best sportster. When he has tournaments with his friends and plays game with his friends, it's unlimitedly enjoyable. So just to break the momentum, a demon like Bakasura would come and Krishna would perform such incredible feat, real tournament. And he was always victorious. He is a chuta. He never falls. He never fails. So the cowherd boys, all after embracing Krishna, they gathered their calves together and they came back to Vrindavan village. And when they entered into Braj, they were all loudly singing about Krishna's killing of Bakasura. And earlier that morning, he killed Batsasura. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bakasura represents the unwanted element within our hearts. of the propensity to be cunning and duplicitous.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said the first qualification of a devotee is sharalata, which means simplicity. Simplicity is a type of humility. To be straightforward, to be honest, to be without hidden motives, to be without an agenda that is personally motivated. Simplicity is such an opulence where we speak from our heart as a well-wisher of everyone. But this inclination to be duplicitous, to say one thing or do one thing with another motivation, selfish, where we're trying to serve our ego through cunningness, it spoils the propensity for Krishna consciousness. It spoils our devotional sentiments. The residents of Vrindavan were so simple. They were so innocent. Those devotees who personally knew Prabhupada, recently I was in, I don't know how many things I should say, but I'll say a few more things. Recently I was in Canada, Sharanagati. And there was a wonderful meeting of four of the six devotees that established Krishna consciousness in London. There was Yamuna, and she invited her younger sister, Janaki. Do you all know who Janaki is? Janaki, you should know her, especially you ladies. She was the first female disciple of Srila Prabhupada in all the world. During the first initiation, she was the only female that took the vows of lifelong dedication. She was actually the first female to be initiated in our Sampradaya in the West, outside of India. And she was also the first devotee to be married in the Krishna consciousness movement with her husband, who later on became known as His Holiness Mukunda Goswami Maharaj. And she was explaining, actually, when Shamsundar found out that Janaki was coming, he came all the way from Oregon to Sharanagati in Canada to be there. And Malati, she was in Spain, and when she found out the others were getting together, she flew from Spain all the way to Western Canada, Vancouver, to be there. So Malati, Shamsundar, Yamuna, and Janaki, we're sitting at a dinner table, and Yamuna cooked. And she's quite known for her cooking skills. She has plaques in her house, but she's so humble. She has them like in a very secluded closet room. You know, she has a beautiful house with deities, Radha Banbihari, and a wonderful, wonderful, you know, just everything's Krishna conscious and so impeccably, perfectly arranged for the glorification of Krishna. She has a whole museum of Prabhupada artifacts in her house. It's this glorification of Krishna and a very fully stocked kitchen as well for cooking for the deities and the devotees. And in a little side room that I don't know what it's used for, she has all these plaques. And the plaques are these awards for her cookbook, Yamuna's Table and Lord Krishna's Cuisine, the number one cookbook of the year for the whole world. How do you know? So many awards, one after another. Medals, awards for her incredible knowledge and teaching abilities to cook. And I was asking about them. She, oh, nothing, it's all Maya, you know. Anyways, she cooked lunch for us. And it was very ecstatic lunch.
And when Yamuna puts her love and devotion into prasad that was offered with love and devotion to the deities, it just has a spontaneous effect to want to talk about Krishna. So they were talking about Prabhupada in the early days, the four of them, and I was just sitting and listening silently. I was supposed to give the lecture that night. And I said, please, why don't the four of you speak? Who am I, you know? So Janaki said, no, I have not spoken in an assembly of devotees in 34 years. I'm too shy, I can't do it. And then everyone convinced, just do it, please. She said, all right. And Yamuna said, very nice. So the three of you can talk, but I can't talk because I live here and it's presumptuous for me to speak when all of you are here and a sannyasi's here. And then Janaki said, well, if you're not speaking, I'm not speaking. This Vaishnava humility sometimes is very complex. So we somehow or other convinced Yamuna, and then again, and they all agreed. And they sat in a nice little temple. It's not a big community. Maybe about 50 devotees came, and they're sitting on four chairs. And Shyam Sundar begins, and then he asks Janaki about her first meeting with Prabhupada. What Prabhupada did for us, it's utterly incredible. What Prabhupada did for us. She said when she first met Prabhupada, Prabhupada was living in a dirty, filthy, sinful ghetto called the Bowery. She had to climb up four flights of stairs in a dark stairway. And then she came to this big loft. Just the poorest people would live in lofts. That means just one room with no partitions. The bathroom, the kitchen, the living room, the dining room, every room is just one room. In other words, it's just one room. And there's just some people just laying around in the floor and sitting and leaning against the walls, and they looked like, she didn't know what they would look like. And in the middle of it all, Prabhupada is sitting with his back erect, speaking Bhagavad Dharma. Harivo. And Prabhupada was so hopeful. He would see the bright side of everything. When he had that little loft, he wrote a letter to his godbrothers and said, we have a place. We have a place in America to start a center. We have this loft, and this boy is taking some interest. We actually have a temple. Why don't some of you come here and help? We have a center now in New York City. This is glorious. It's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great benediction coming true. He would just see the opportunity in every situation. Janaki said a couple days later, she had a loft herself where her and Mukunda Maharaj were living. Then they were not initiated. Early one morning, the door knock. She answers the door. It's Prabhupada. In those days, they called him Swamiji. She asks, what are you doing here this early in the morning? He said, the person I'm living with, he became mad on some drug and came with a weapon to kill me. I had to leave that place. Here he is in a dangerous ghetto of New York City with a little bag, and he had nowhere to go. He was on the street. He had nothing. He asked, they weren't even devotees at this time, at least manifested. They just came once or twice to see him. He asked if he could stay with them until he had another place. Mukunda Maharaj cleared his bed off and said, you could stay here. They also had a loft, one room. And they were realizing that this is very uncomfortable for him to live with us, and it's very uncomfortable for us to be here, you know, because with a Swamiji living. So they arranged to find a place for him called 26 Second Avenue. That's how the first temple began. Who else is willing to go through that to give us Krishna? He He had wonderful rooms in Vrindavan, in the place of Krishna's Raslila, Seva Kunj, at the Radha Damodar temple. He had a return ticket on Jaladuta. Why didn't he return? This was the extent of his compassion, of his magnanimous love for Krishna and for every living being. And he was doing this for a civilization of people he didn't even know. But he loved the soul in everyone's heart to this extent. Janaki Jamuna Malati Shamsundar Harivo Shishi Radha Gokulanande. I will end very soon, so should I speak a few more words or should we have kirtan? Okay, it won't be long. At least that's what I say. They were discussing how Srila Prabhupada, he had the... Prabhupada explained what a preacher should be. A preacher should have the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali mother. Prabhupada could be just annihilating misconceptions with the boldness of a roaring lion. But when he wasn't, he was like a very simple, innocent child. Janaki would say, Janaki was the age of his granddaughters. Janaki would say, Swamiji, you shouldn't eat this, you should eat this instead. And he would just do it. For Swamiji, you shouldn't wear these shoes, you should wear these shoes. Just like a child, so simple, so innocent. This is the quality of a Vaishnava, simplicity. No ulterior motives, no hidden agendas. Just an honest well-wisher of every living being. But this cunning tendency is the demon Bakasura. And we should pray to Krishna and cry out his holy name to kill this anarta, this unwanted demon within our heart. Of the tendency to be hypocritical and deceive others. Because Krishna is seeing from within, and all our progress spiritually is determined by what the Lord sees. So these Vrijabhas, these cowherd boys, were loudly glorifying Krishna when they returned to the village. And Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and the elder gopas and gopis, they were simply amazed to hear about Krishna. How he killed this gigantic duck with a pointed beak that was big as a mountain. But because of their love for Krishna, they couldn't conceive him to be God. Because Yoga Maya, Krishna would not allow them to think he was God. Because it would interfere with their emotions of intimate love as parents, lovers, and friends. So Nanda Maharaj said, how is this possible? This is amazing. That death personified came before our little Gopal and died. This most monstrous cause of death came before. And that fearful being himself died. Why? It must be because Krishna and the cowherd boys are just innocent, simple children. And Lord Narayan always protects the innocent. That is the reason. And they were trying to rationalize in so many ways how Krishna could perform these wonderful, miraculous, heroic deeds and still be an innocent boy. That if we don't feed him, he will die. If we don't protect him, he will be afraid. And this way, on that day and every day, Nanda and his associates were just talking about Krishna. Thrilled. They couldn't stop talking about Krishna. Every day there was new material to discuss about Krishna. Not only would they talk about Krishna, they would compose poems about what Krishna did that day. They would create melodies and ragas to sing the glories of Krishna. In this way, they were nonstop always just discussing Krishna. Harivo. In the meanwhile, while this was all going on, some elder cowherd men from a distant place came to Vrindavan and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't you know what the Vedic scriptures, don't you know what the great saints say? That you're supposed to perform tapasya. You're supposed to be fixing your mind on Lord Narayan. What do you think you're going to gain by just talking all day long about your child and your family? Death is coming at every moment. You shouldn't waste your life away just talking about your family and your children. Fix your mind on Lord Narayan. Perform tapasya. And you'll make spiritual progress. It will save you from all material tribulation and death." But Nanda Maharaj and the gopas and gopis, they just completely ignored this advice. Why? They didn't care about material tribulations. Because simply by speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and remembering Krishna, they were feeling the ultimate ecstasy of the heart, way beyond all material existence. And Sukadeva Goswami explains, and Prabhupada enunciates the same principle very, very strongly, that the same effect can be experienced by anyone and everyone at all times by discussing Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's qualities and his wonderful teachings. It is absolute. It is not bound by time and space. There is no difference between Krishna's name, his lilas, his form, and himself. So the perfection of life, Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punja Sravana Kirtana Hridyantastohya Badrani Vidunoti Suritsitam. If we just develop an attraction for hearing about Krishna, that's the perfection of life. Why? When Krishna sees we develop an attraction for hearing and chanting his glories from within our heart, he's so pleased. He cleanses us of all envy, pride, greed, lust, anger, and illusion. All misconceptions, the whole cloud of illusion of Maya is dissipated. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun, dissipates all darkness within. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us so many wonderful books, so that we could read them, study them, learn them, and speak about them, share this wonderful, wonderful nectar. Parikshit Maharaj was so eager to hear about Krishna, he was fasting from food, water, and sleep for 7 days. By the time the 10th canto was coming, already several days had ended. And yet he's telling Shukadev Goswami, "I have no hunger, no thirst, no weakness. Just let that ambrosial flow of nectar, of Harikatha, keep entering into my heart. Keep speaking. Every time you speak, it becomes newer and fresher and more wonderful." This is the symptom of our spiritual advancement, that we're more and more eager for Krishna, to speak his glories, to hear his glories, remember him. Enechi asadi maya nashi borulagi. Harinam mahamantra lao tumi magi. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya said that I have the medicine that will cure all your spiritual ills, the holy name of the Lord. It will cleanse the heart. It will awaken attraction for Krishna and awaken Krishna's mercy within us. That is the perfection of life. Therefore, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatva tatyakva deham punarachamna naiti mameti sorjana. Krishna descends into this world and performs such beautiful pastimes and speaks such profound words of absolute truth, that just by understanding the divine nature of the Lord's appearance and activities, one falls in love with Krishna. One of my dear God brothers recently said, "I am the most fallen." I said, "Well, I think you are. You're the most fallen in love with Krishna."
Haribol.
That is the goal of life, to fall in love with Krishna and to share that love with the world by creating such a wonderful environment where we are all attached to hearing and chanting, attached to being each other's well-wishers. When Krishna is the center focus of our relationship, love begins to grow beyond the enmity and envy of this world. Kali means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So much quarrel, so much hypocrisy everywhere. There's only one way to go beyond it. To give up the exploitative ambitions and in a spirit of servant, just share the glories of Krishna with one another and inspire one another to serve the Lord. Last night I was speaking how deeply grateful and impressed I am by the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Manor. Because this is in fact the most successful and glorious Janmashtami festival for reaching in a qualitative way the people of the world than any other place on earth. There is no place in India, there is no place in the West where so much energy and time goes into creating a festival that enchants people's hearts, brings tens and thousands of people. They see dramas, they hear kirtan, they take samosas and pizza. Prasad. They have the darshan of the deities. They meet devotees. There's gift shops and so many scientific preaching booths and tents with youth preaching. And it's just, it's like a whole civilization of enthusiasm. And so many weeks and weeks and weeks of hard labor of hundreds of devotees coming with no pay. That's why it's so glorious. Because all of your dedication and unconditional service, you are helping Radha Gokulananda fulfill their mission in this world to attract the hearts with their causeless mercy and spiritual beauty of all the conditioned souls. Haribol. That means I should end the lecture. Vaishnavas are very subtle and dignified in giving their hints. I thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.